I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. God has given our church a huge vision. He's leading us to be a catalyst to bring God's blessing and influence to Southern Arizona and to strategic locations around the world. We're part of a movement of God that began after Jesus rose from the dead. The first 9 chapters of the book of Acts show how the power of the Holy Spirit helped the church become an unstoppable force in the face of all kinds of obstacles and oppositions. The early church, and our church today, is to be an unstoppable force for good that will make a difference. It's my prayer that as you listen, you'll find your part in this mission that's bigger than what any of us can do alone. O Romeo, Romeo, where art thou, Romeo? Okay, I'm a guy, I don't read a lot of Shakespeare, but we all know that line, right? And what's interesting is that that line, which we know actually in the Shakespeare play, leads to another line that's really the crux of the story. In fact, this next line raises the tension of the whole story. Right after this, after Juliet calls to Romeo, she says this to him: "Deny thy father and refuse thy name." I still can't figure out why they say thy. You know, your. Deny your father. Refuse your name. Now, Romeo's last name is Montague. Juliet's last name is Capulet. The Montagues and the Capulets hate each other. They're at war. But Romeo and Juliet have fallen deeply in love. And the tension of this whole story is that they've fallen in love with the wrong person, because Montagues and Capulets will have nothing to do with each other. And so now they're in this tension. And so then Juliet continues. But first, Romeo. Romeo says, this is my modern translation, no more thys and thous. My modern translation is, are you finished or is there more? There's more. And Juliet enters a conversation about the name. And then there's another line that most of us know fairly well. In the middle of this next conversation, Juliet says, what's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet. What Juliet's saying is that a name is just, it's an artificial thing. It's an artificial label. She loves a person who's a Montague, but she does not love the Montague name or the Montague family. And she asks Romeo to deny that name. You know, names are significant. They're powerful. Our name represents a lot about us. It represents our history, our character, our purpose, and ultimately, it's about our identity. And we can test this out real simply. I mean, all I have to do is mention a few names, and as I mention these names, history will come to you, their purpose, their character, their identity, it all comes just with the name. Abraham Lincoln. How many of you just saw the movie? Great movie. All of the history, but his character, his purpose, his identity. Mahatma Gandhi. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And Jesus. The name Jesus. That name conveys purpose and character, and the core of the identity of God. It's interesting that the name Jesus in Hebrew is Yeshua, and the word Yeshua means rescue or deliver or save. How appropriate that he was named Jesus, the one who saves us. the name Jesus. There's never been a name that's created more discussion in humanity. There's never been a name that evokes such strong emotion when that name is discussed. There's never been a name that has created more division, even amongst the closest of friends or family members. The name Jesus creates a strong reaction for those who are either for or against Him in one way or another. The name Jesus stands for something. The name Jesus stands for everything. Everything good. Everything true. Everything of God. The name Jesus has been controversial from the very beginning. We've been looking at the book of Acts for the last 4 weeks. We're in our fifth week. The book of Acts describes the beginning of the church, the movement of the people of God. And from the very beginning, the name of Jesus has been the core of this whole movement. A couple weeks ago, we looked at the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. That day, 3,000 people were baptized and began this movement. Last week, Pastor Jack Shull shared with us how the church really was connected. He talked about the power of the connected life, and that when these believers were really connected with each other, everybody else noticed and they had a huge impact in their culture. And then in chapter 3 of Acts, Peter and John are in the temple area. And they come across this man who has been lame since birth. And he's begging. He's asking for money. Take your Bibles and open to Acts chapter 3. And look at how Peter responds to this man who's begging. It's his only way of surviving. In Acts chapter 3, verse 6, then Peter said to him, "Silver or gold, I do not have." I don't have money. "But what I do have, I give you." And notice what Peter says. "I don't have money, but here's what I have to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Now, the name of Jesus, it's not magic. It's not like you just say the name and magic happens. But again, in Jewish culture, the name Jesus of Nazareth reflects the totality of who Jesus is. When Peter says, "In the name of Jesus, walk," he's saying, "Jesus is the one who will heal you." And the man jumps up. He is just hopping all around and praising God. He creates such a commotion that now Peter's got this huge crowd of people around him. I mean, they're in the temple. That's like the center of society, and everybody's there, and he's got this crowd, and Peter takes the opportunity. And the rest of chapter 3 is that Peter tells them about who Jesus is. He explains to them the name of Jesus. Now, this isn't going down so well with the Jewish leaders. They are not liking what Peter is saying and doing, partly because Peter lays the blame squarely on the Jewish leaders for having crucified Jesus. In fact, this is the second time he's done that. And the leaders are hearing them put the blame of Jesus' death on them. They don't like it. And in fact, they don't like the fact that now the church has already grown to 5,000 men. In that day, they counted men as the heads of the household. So there were 5,000 men plus wives and children, well over 10,000 people were now following Jesus. And that's a huge percentage of the population of Jerusalem in a very short time. And these Jewish religious leaders have had enough. And so they have Peter and John arrested. Turn now to chapter 4. And we pick up the story after they've been arrested. And in verse 7, it says, they had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. So now they're before all these powerful religious leaders, and notice what their question is. Verse 7, "By what power or what name did you do this? Did you heal this man?" They asked the right question. By what power and by what name did you heal this man? And so Peter answers them. Verse 8. This Acts chapter 4, verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who is lame, and are being asked how he was healed, then know this. You and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. This man stands before you healed. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Verse 12, salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Man, Peter is just smoking bold here. He is just laying it out. He is full of God. In verse 8 it says, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. That means he is full of God. God is guiding him. His words are God's word. That's why we call this God's word, because Peter was speaking God's word. Peter was so in sync with God, and he was just laying it out. And he lets them know how this man was healed. Jesus healed him in the name of Jesus. Now it's interesting, Luke is the one who writes the book of Acts. And Luke was writing in the universal language of that day, which was the Greek language. And it's interesting that the word healed and the word save have the same root. Jesus physically healed that man. But Jesus also saved that man. Jesus brings healing. Jesus brings spiritual healing to our souls. Jesus is the one who leads us back into a relationship with God through his death, his sacrifice, his resurrection. He is the one who brings us the gift of salvation for each and every one of us who desire it, who are willing to follow Jesus. That salvation is that our sins are forgiven completely, so that the day when we stand before God, there is nothing that creates a barrier between us and them. That God fully accepts us into the relationship with him. That we have life that never will end. Death is not the end for us. And that's only through the name of Jesus. You know, probably the prominent value in our culture today, the value that just influences almost everything that's going on, is the value of tolerance. And there is a lot of good about that. We need to be tolerant of others who come from different cultures and ethnic backgrounds. We need to be tolerant of each other in our uniquenesses and our personalities. But this value of tolerance has gotten so big and gone so far that now it is no longer okay. In fact, we are villainized if we say the very thing that Peter said here, that salvation is only found in Jesus. The name of Jesus generally is not welcomed in the public arena anymore. The name of Jesus is often banned or shunned. And here's the irony of that. Oftentimes, the very folks who will speak the loudest for tolerance will be totally intolerant of the name of Jesus. In spite of this cultural value, make no mistake that Jesus is the only way to God. Why? Because Jesus wants to be better than everybody else? No, it's because Jesus is God. There is no one who can show us God better than God himself, who took on human flesh. He is the one who knows God. He knows the way to God. He claimed to be God. He showed that he was God by the incredible miracles that he did, by the fact that God raised him from the dead. And here's the situation that each of us have to face. He either is who he says he is, or he isn't, and you can't have it any other way. He either is God, or he's just a man. And let me be really brutally blunt. If he is just a man, if he lied to us, if he deceived us, then walk away right now. But if he's God, and I believe with all my heart that he is, if he is God, attested by all the miracles, then there is no one who is better able to show us God and lead us to the very heart of our Heavenly Father. Right this minute, he is standing next to our Heavenly Father, defending us before God for all the wrong that we have done or are doing right now. And for 2,000 years, he's been tried and tested. Today, a third of this planet follows Jesus. He is tested and true. He is the way to God. I was in high school. I was struggling. And I began reading, for the first time really in my life, about Jesus. I began reading the Bible, the New Testament. And I'll tell you, as I began reading, there was something inside of me that began to burn. I was blown away by the person of Jesus that I was reading about. I was blown away by what he was teaching. And the more I read, the more I realized, I want to follow this guy. I want to do what he says. I want my life to be like his life. And the more that I began to engage in that journey of following Jesus, what I discovered was that he actually led me to discover who God was. That was my experience. And in that experience, I began to discover forgiveness. Not that I knew mentally, intellectually that I was forgiven, but I actually felt forgiven by God because of Jesus. There is no other name given to man by which we can be saved. That's what we're told through God's word. And so I just want to encourage you right now. If you have never made that decision to follow Jesus, make the decision. Commit yourself to him. What you're committing to is committing that you're going to allow him to be in charge of your life. You're allowing him to be in charge of what you think and believe, of how you live your life out, of what you stand for or don't stand for. And here's the thing. As we commit ourselves to Jesus, he commits himself to us. And in that commitment to us comes the promises that I've already mentioned. The promise of absolute forgiveness of sins. The promise that he will be with us, will never forsake us, that he will guide us, that he will give us life that never ends. Those promises come with his commitment to him. And in the book of Acts, folks always express that initial commitment in baptism. Every single person in the book of Acts who decided to follow Jesus promised that in baptism. That's what baptism is. It's the promise to follow Jesus with all of our heart, to the best of our ability, all the days of our life. Later in our service, we're going to have an opportunity to do baptism. And I'm saying that to you now because I want you to be thinking about that decision. Being willing to make that decision to follow Jesus. the only one who can bring us to the heart of our eternal heavenly Father. Now, what did the religious leaders think about what Peter was saying and doing? What was going on in their minds? Well, we see that in verse 13. Acts chapter 4, verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. And they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Here, Peter and John are standing before the elite of the Jewish nation. They are standing before the most powerful men of their country. They're standing before highly educated, very wealthy men who were priests and rabbis and probably a few businessmen. And here they are. They're just fishermen. Ordinary, unschooled guys who had no status, no power, no recognition in that society. These were guys that were just regular guys. But the Jewish leaders, they couldn't deny the healing. And they couldn't deny how courageous and bold Peter and John were. And when we get to this point of the story, this is where I want you to really reflect. How could these nobodies, Peter and John, how could these nobodies change the world? How did they go from just obscure fishermen in a northern little lake to two men who would lead a movement that transformed the world? We're told right here. The very last phrase of verse 13. The Jewish leaders were astonished and they took note. Here's the answer. That these men had been with Jesus. When we have been with Jesus, it makes all the difference in the world. For 3 years, Peter and John had been with Jesus day and night. They watched him pray. They heard him pray. They got to see firsthand and hear firsthand about Jesus' relationship with his heavenly Father. They got to hear Jesus talk about the Bible, the Old Testament of that day. They got to see how Jesus treated all people. People who were for him and people who were against him, good and bad. They got to see his character. They got to see him when they were around the fire at night, when the crowds had dispersed. They got to see him at his core and who he really is and was. They got to see his miracles. They watched him go through an agonizing death. They got to speak to him as he had risen from the dead and was alive again. They were with Jesus so much that they were becoming like Jesus. And that's true for us as well. If we will really be with Jesus, it will transform us. If we will really be with Jesus, then that will become so real in us that we will make a difference in our world. It's not enough to know about Jesus. It's not enough even to like Jesus. What we're called to is to be with Jesus. You and I are much like Peter and John. Ordinary folks, ordinary jobs, typical status in life, no real power, in this world. That's why we struggle with voting, because we don't feel like we have much power. We're just being honest with ourselves. Most of us don't have any of these super incredible skills that just makes the world stand up and applaud. We're often hindered by fear. Fear of what others will think. We're often hindered by the fear of losing what we have gained if we stand with and for Jesus. But if we will really be with Jesus in authenticity, if we'll be with Jesus, we'll experience a power that's beyond our normal human ability. As we allow God to fill us, remember Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit. As we are filled with the Holy Spirit, as we are filled with God, because we've been with Jesus, we're able to stand against the antagonism that's a part of our world against the name of Jesus. We're able to speak boldly and clearly about the name of Jesus. We're able to show the world that Jesus is alive, because he's alive in us. That's why for me, my morning time of prayer is so critical. It's that time when I need to be with Jesus, and I crowd out and silence all the other noise and distractions of this world. I need to be with Jesus before I start my day, to allow him to shape me and to shape what I focus on in that day. And the pattern that I've used is, after I have that incredible time of prayer, I eat my breakfast, and then I read his word. Right now, we've been reading through the book of Acts in our Bible reading plan. I hope you've been reading along. What an incredible story of men who've been with Jesus, who were so bold to stand against the culture of that day and make a real difference. And Jesus speaks to me through the reading of his word and changes how I approach my day, my life. There is incredible power in the name of Jesus, if we will be with him. And so I want to invite you to begin that journey with Jesus. If you've never made the decision, if you've never committed yourself to Jesus, if you've never given him the authority in your life to have charge and rule of your life and to lead you, I want to invite you to do that. And I want to invite you to declare that in baptism. Today we're going to have baptisms. And so in just a moment, I'm going to invite you to come forward. I'm going to ask some of our elders and pastors to come down forward right now. They'll be here if you have some questions about that. The Gudgels will be right over here to my left, your right. And if you're ready this morning, don't hesitate. Get out of your seat. Don't worry about what anybody else is thinking. If there are people blocking your exit, push them out of your way. And come on down. We have everything for you to be baptized. We've got towels, we've got robes, we've got blow dryers, we've got everything. Don't hesitate. Declare your commitment to Jesus. I want you to come down right now and just come on over here, and we will help you. Or if you have questions, we'll be glad to answer any of those questions. Don't hesitate. 2 weeks ago, I offered the same invitation. And I know that 2 weeks ago, by the way, 24 people have been baptized since that time. Yeah. But I know there were some people that hesitated. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day you can make that commitment to Jesus. Commit to him, and he will commit to you. And we all live, at one level or another, powerless lives. Let's just be honest. We are so consumed by the limitations of this life and this world. The reality is this. We can choose ordinary, And if we're honest, most of us have chosen ordinary. Or we can choose Jesus. We can choose ordinary, or we can choose Jesus. Being with Jesus makes all the difference. Really being with Jesus transforms us. Really being with Jesus empowers us to be bold for the name of Jesus. There's power in that name. So the question is this: what name will people know you by? What name will people know you by? What name will you live by? What name will shape your attitude, your beliefs, your actions? The name of Jesus. I'm going to ask our communion service to prepare. In just a moment, we're going to take communion. We do it every week. And there are some who say we shouldn't do it every week because it becomes old and routine. And, well, we do a lot of things every week. I brush my teeth every morning. Aren't you glad? I shower every day. Now, communion is an incredible time. Communion is a time when we are with Jesus. Every week, we carve out this special time, amongst others, where our focus is to be with Jesus. To reflect on the name of Jesus. Remember, name isn't five letters starting with J. The name of Jesus is the person of Jesus. All of who He is, all that He's done for us. And in this time, we reflect on the name of Jesus. Focus on Him. And then during this time, we not only reflect on Jesus and what He's done for us, and the communion helps remind us of that, but we also use this time to recommit to Him. Those who will be baptized shortly are going to make their first commitment, and then we, at this time of communion, make our recommitment every week. And the core of that commitment is to be with Jesus. Maybe in this time you figure out what's been hindering you from really being with Jesus. What's hurt that? What's minimized that? What's damaged that in some way? Use this time to be with Jesus. After our communion, we take an offering. And maybe if you've been here at Pantano for any while, you've heard us say that this is a part of our worship. And I want to explain what that means. Offering is a part of worship. But what is worship? Worship isn't a worship service. We do worship here. We can also worship in a lot of other ways. Worship is any time we ascribe worth to God. However we do that. We did that earlier as Dave led us in singing. We ascribed worth to God. We do that in our prayer times. We ascribe worth to God. As we serve Him, we're saying, "You are worthy of my time." And that's why offering is a part of worship. Because as we give, what we're saying is, "God, You are worthy of my money. You are worth what I'm giving." And I think that should challenge us in the attitude we have in our giving. It should also guide us in what we give, how and what. Because we're ascribing worth to God. Let's pray. Father God, We are amazed at what Peter and John were able to do because they had been with Jesus. So right in this moment, God, we are grateful that you sent Jesus to us. God, we're grateful that you are present to us right now as Spirit, as the Holy Spirit. We want to be connected to you through Jesus. And so God, help us in this moment and in this day and this week to truly be with you, to spend time with you, to talk to you, to read about you in your word, to let you speak to us. Change us, transform us. May we be bold with the name of Jesus. Our desire is to clearly proclaim the name of Jesus in our attitudes, in our actions, in our words, to honor you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.